Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Begin now.
That's right. And it is a good day. On 96.5 The Fan, home of sports right here in Kansas City. You're listening to After Hours. With me, I've got Drew Nixon, JT, and of course myself, Mac Morey. So happy to be with you for the next 3 hours. We're back. That's right. I mean, is it a tradition if it's only done twice? When does it become like, are we just in a habit right now? I guess we're just in a habit. But hey, I'm liking it. This is fun.
Yeah. No, this is a blast.
It's a blast. And it's been a great day. I mean, I am still at a 10 of a 10 of excitement. DeAndre Hopkins is a Kansas City Chief.
Your jaw's still dropping?
Oh, man. Yeah, if you haven't seen the video, go to the Fan 96.5. Dusty and Bob, Fesco and Dusty in the morning, 6 to 10, every day, Monday through Friday. Make sure you listen to us. We have a great time. They were able to keep the secret from me for the 10 or 15 minutes that it broke before we went on the air live. So we have that clip of my genuine and raw reaction.
Please go check it out. It is good. Very
it's
good.
Fun. And make sure you're part of the show tonight. 913-586-7965 is the text line number. We're going to be talking a lot of DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of Chiefs angles in general. Are they done yet? We're going to talk a little college football. NBA is back. We'll talk some quarterbacks in the NFL in general. We're going to have a lot of fun these next 3 hours. But we'd be remiss if we did not start with the big news of D-Hop, man. First off, again, he was my number one option, so I'll say that first. I'll kind of preface this with that. Like, my excitement comes from not just the Chiefs getting a wide receiver, which they desperately needed, but Chiefs getting a wide receiver that I wanted them to get. I said last week, like, I know the knee thing, but, like, this is my guy. This is a Rashee Rice, Juju Smith-Schuster kind of 2.0 as far as experience in the league, and I think he's going to provide a lot right away. I mean, multiple guys from 104.5 The Zone over there in Nashville, some of my friends that I worked with back in the day, joined Cody and Gold today, joined us with Fesco and Dusty, and talked about his knee. It sounded pretty optimistic. We can play some of that later on in the show, but as far as where he's at with the MCL, I mean, where are you at with this, Drew? I mean, so immediate reaction to now, have you kind of lessened? Are you still like as excited? Do you think it's a good move? Where are you grading this?
I think I still think it's a good move. I think I said earlier today on Cody and Gold, I think it's hard to grade this trade because obviously, look, if they go and they win the Super Bowl, it doesn't even matter what the grade is. The grade's an A because they won. But even if they were to not make, if they were to make the Super Bowl and lose for whatever reason, I still think you give the trade an A or an A plus because they had to do this. Like they almost weren't in any other position where they had to, they did what they had to do. So you could say right now the trade's an A plus because they're 6-0 right now, but would they win the Super Bowl with this crew? It would be really, you could see it happening because they won it last year, but it would be really tough. They did what they had to do. So I think I'm still on the bandwagon of, yes, this is what they needed to do. It fits what they needed in, because you mentioned it, like Deontay Johnson is fine, has a little bit of a drop problem. Darius Slayton doesn't knock you out of the park like that. If you had to pick anybody out of that list, to your point, that had any sort of a peak that was worth talking about, DeAndre Hopkins is your guy. Like, he's a three-time All-Pro, Pro Bowler. He's really damn good.
Like, this is like a top three wide receiver for a few years.
Yeah,
like maybe number one.
So if there was any guy that you could pinpoint out of that list and say, I know we might have some injury issues, but if there's anybody that can get the best out of him, it's Patrick Mahomes. You'd want DeAndre Hopkins on your roster, and I think that it's a little. We'll get into it. A little bit different wide receiver than Mahomes has ever had, but maybe that could be a good thing for what DeAndre Hopkins brings to the offense and what they've been used to at least here in these first 6-7 weeks of the season.
Well, and I think one thing to keep in mind throughout this DeAndre Hopkins addition, the whole wide receiver discussion as we talk about the offense here in Kansas City, it's different. Like, I know we've tried to keep reminding on every show, like, hey, this is like a defensive led team who runs the ball. Like, we know Marty Ball here in Kansas City. It's coming back better than ever. I don't think Hopkins necessarily like changes the style and the scheme of what's going to be happening here. But now on 3rd and 6, on 3rd and 7, in the red zone at the 15-yard line, like there are now a wider array of options that don't just include D-Hop. Like D-Hop will open things up for Travis Kelce. He'll open things up for the rookie and Xavier Worthy. Like Justin Watson, who's been quiet these last few weeks. Noah Gray, who's been loud these last few weeks. He's going to make everyone's life easier. And he doesn't need to go off for 100 yards and a touchdown every game for the Chiefs to be successful. They haven't had that. The fact that they have a guy with that experience that hasn't been on the team since, I mean, I guess you want to say Tyreek Hill, sure. But even that, like Hopkins is more of a veteran. He's got more experience than even that. So I would say this team doesn't need an elite wide receiver, and they just got one.
Yeah, I think to your point about the area that, you know, I think stylistically they're going to look the same, but red zone in particular, like they're ranked 25th or 26th in red zone touchdown. Like that is the area I think if you were to say DeAndre Hopkins is going to improve this team in this spot, I think it's the red zone because of the type of wide receiver that he is. I think this is where you potentially can introduce the back shoulder throw, the more contested ball. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was asked about it today. You know, are you more comfortable throwing up those contested passes within the offense? And it's a little bit different than maybe what Andy Reid is used to designing. But when you've got a guy that is capable, because right now, I don't think anybody on the roster that is available, you would say, I trust this guy to go win a contested ball. And maybe even Xavier, Xavier Worthy to go win a jump ball. I don't think so.
165 pounds, 5'10", whatever it is,
I would take Rashee Rice maybe to do that because he did
absolutely
a little bit. He did it at SMU, but designed for the guy to run the back shoulder play, run the fade, throw it up, let him go get it. He can jump out of the gym. He's very much like Justin Jefferson in a way I think that DeAndre Hopkins plays. Throw the ball up and he will go and get the ball. It's not, he will never have to bat the ball away unless it's a poorly thrown ball. If you get it to him in the right spot, he can moss a guy. And I think that's where the red zone opportunities really become plentiful, potentially even in spreading out the offense more, maybe giving Travis a little bit more one-on-one coverage.
Absolutely.
Where you're not designing for guys to get open. You have a guy that can get open and is open if he's one-on-one against anybody in that spot. It can open things up a little bit more for your offense, whether it be Xavier Worthy or Travis Kelce or Noah Gray or whoever the case may be.
I mean, how many times have we seen, ooh, the timing was just off there. Oh, no one's open. He's running for his life now.
The deep ball to Xavier Worthy is a little bit off, but I know that's a different play that DeAndre Hopkins probably isn't going to be in the situation there have been times where you're a little bit off. DeAndre Hopkins can make the play for you where even if you are a little bit off, he's able to make that play for you, regardless of where the ball being a little bit far, a little bit short. Anything like that.
I mean, this receiving core is just a barren wasteland right now without Hopkins. So
they needed anything.
It's something because Xavier Worthy is a rookie and the route tree is just not there. It's jet sweeps. It's go routes, at least for what the Chiefs are giving him. Now, that might change, but for what they're giving him, little drag routes and posts, goes, and jet sweeps. That's what Xavier Worthy is right now. Mecole Hardman is exactly that. And then you've got Justin Watson, who's he's maybe the best like route tree developed wide receiver on the team. And then I don't even want to think about number 24. So, this is a massive move. I think, does this change like your overall, like before the DeAndre Hopkins move, you would have said the Chiefs are first or second in the AFC, right? As far as favorites.
Oh yeah. 100%. So I would say they're still first.
Okay, so is this does this move the needle? Like, does this make a gap for you where there wasn't before?
I don't know if it moves. To me, I don't know if they could get, I know this sounds weird, I don't know if they could get any more sure because of the defense and how good the defense has been. if you were to lose somebody on defense, obviously you don't want that to happen, but if Trent McDuffie were to be out for 4 weeks or 5 weeks of the season,
knock on wood,
all of a sudden, I think your one seed spot, it changes a little bit because Trent McDuffie's that good of a player. Yeah. If Chris Jones is out for a few weeks, it changes the potential where your defense isn't going to be or may not be as effective as they are, where the offense is as bad as it gets and they're 6-0. So I don't, it improves the offense. It gives them a greater chance to win games, I think. But in terms of them being favored, I don't know if it changes much. And I don't know if it can, just based on how great the defense has been from last season all the way into this season, the way that it's been. I don't know if you feel the same way. If you're like, yes, surefire, number one seed, if it's any different, I don't know if you doubted it at all, Mac, where it's like, I don't know.
Come on. No.
I feel like that's a Chiefs fans should, you should obviously be confident in your team.
No, I have been. I mean, I've been known to be pessimistic before, but this season, I mean, after last year, I just was like, okay, I'm done doubting this team, and the defense is better, I mean, than it was last year. And I wouldn't have said that before this season. I would have said the defense maybe takes a marginal step back or just stays the same, which would still be, you know, top five, but it is top one. It is the best defense in football. And that changes everything about this team. And you know, left tackle, huge question mark going into the season. Has it been great? No. Has it been better than maybe some would have said? Absolutely. Wanya Morris has stepped up. It's been good enough.
Which is, it's so weird to, if you were to say like any other team, if it's good enough.
Yeah, it's good enough.
Probably not going to win. I mean, it might win you a few games, but it's not going to win for the Chiefs. It doesn't, like, good enough has been enough.
14-3.
At times you think, okay, that should take away from Patrick Mahomes and all this other stuff of, hey, he's only winning because of the defense, and Patrick Mahomes credits the defense a lot. But I think that's what, they're not winning, they're winning dominant games because of the defense. They would still, I think, win games because they have Patrick Mahomes. It's just that the way that it looks, it's ugly at times, but the defense, I don't think the defense is blown in a spot going all the way back to last season. And I've said this on Cody and Gold before. I don't think the defense has blown any sort of an opportunity going all the way back to last year, where the defense had to make a stop and they didn't make a stop and they lost the game. They have shown up in every single moment in every single game. And that, I think, is the reason why I don't think you can say anybody else is the favorite, at least to win the AFC or to win the Super Bowl for that matter, than the Kansas City Chiefs, just based on their defense still being great amidst Jalen Watson being out. I know that that's a question mark, and we'll get to that a little bit later.
The text that I'm seeing.
From the text line is a little concerned, maybe.
It's a little 913-586-7965. Be a part of the conversation here from the 816. Did you guys forget we just lost our quarterback too for the rest of the season? No, 816, it's on the docket. We are going to get to it today. Did you forget that this secondary was one of the youngest, if not the youngest, last season, and they won the Super Bowl? Did you not forget that Brett Veach, as far as positions in the draft that he excels at, cornerback is at the tippy top of the list? This team will be fine, and they have time to make a move. And guess what? What they spend? Two and change on Hopkins? Titans are going to cover the rest of the salary.
Yeah, they cover half of it.
Yeah.
I think it is something that's worth the question, though, because Jalen Watson has been really solid. But, you know, going into, you see Roland Wallace gets the pick. A lot of people didn't even know who he was. He gets the interception. I was like, hang on a minute. Who is this? I see he's got two last names, and it's not MVS playing defense for sure.
But he wouldn't have caught it.
You look at, no, that's true. Najee Johnson on the side, you know, Joshua Williams, like, can they end up being that go-to guy? Something to pay attention to the rest of the year. I wouldn't give up on it yet, or it's a loss, but I don't know how big it is quite yet.
It is a big loss. It's no doubt it's going to affect the team, but I don't think at the end of the day in December or January or hopefully February, you're going to go, damn, man, if we just had Jalen Watson, the Chiefs win that game. And that's not any slight at Jalen Watson. He's been an excellent cornerback here in Kansas City, and I hope he recovers as fast as possible, maybe even have a chance to see him later on in the season in that playoff run. But I just don't think a cornerback, too, for a team like this in a dynastic run that they're in the midst of, they're going to look back and go, dang, our second DB really ruined this three-peat. We're going to talk about it, though. Which team is the biggest threat to the Chiefs as far as this three-peat's concerned? In the AFC, in the NFL, in general, we're going to get to it all today. Got a fun 3 hours ahead right here on 96.5 The Fan. This is After Hours. That's JT Noah producing, Drew Nixon, and myself, Mac Moore. Make sure you stay locked into the home of Kansas City Chiefs. That's 96.5 The Fan.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Listening to After Hours, JT Noah, Drew Nixon, and myself, Mac Morey, here with you, just talking about the DeAndre Hopkins news. Biggest news of the day here in Kansas City. Woo! Got a wide receiver, baby. That's a four-time All-Pro, baby. Come on. I'm excited. We kind of going to go through a lot of angles through that tonight. We'll talk some college football. We'll talk a little bit NBA. Hardwood's back. Those hoops. Let's go.
I'm so excited.
My Celtics last night. I don't want to get into it now. Don't want to get too excited.
Jason Tatum. He played pissed off, it looked like, last night. He was ready to prove something.
It's similar to the Chiefs. They have the nobody believes in us syndrome after just winning a title. It very rarely happens that leagues screw up like that, but the NBA, you screw it up. Association, you done screwed up. Tatum and Brown, they got a lot to prove after just hoisting that Larry O'Brien. Okay, let's get to what we're talking about now, though. 913-586-7965 to be a part of the conversation. Who is the biggest threat right now to the Kansas City Chiefs? Who would you say, after that DeAndre Hopkins news, obviously ups their offensive game, changes maybe their ceiling from an offensive level? We know what 100%. The defense can do. We know the history with this team. They know nothing but AFC Championship games and Super Bowls. Right now, though, looking at the rest of the landscape, just starting with the AFC, and JT, I want your take on this too. Who's the biggest threat to you in the AFC? Make sure you text in with your answer as well, 913-586-7965.
I think that, so I guess the almost too obvious answer is to say the Ravens, but I don't think the Chiefs should fear the Ravens as much as they should the Buffalo Bills or, yes, the Cincinnati Bengals, because I think in terms of the broad scope of them winning the AFC, the Bengals, if they make the playoffs, they're a threat because they've beaten Mahomes before. They've won at Arrowhead before. Lou Anarumo knows how to scheme better against the Chiefs than really anybody else, it seems like. That's why I think they're more of a threat than the Ravens. We've seen what Lamar has done historically in the playoffs. Josh Allen hasn't played bad in the playoffs. He just hasn't won in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson hasn't played that great, and they've also had an issue beating teams in the playoffs in general. So I think that based on what we've seen over the last 3 to 5 years in sample size, I think the Ravens are a threat, but they're not as high on the totem pole, in my opinion, based on what we've seen when they've played the Chiefs compared to Josh Allen or the Cincinnati Bengals. If the Bengals don't make the playoffs, I think the Bills are the number one because Josh Allen can somehow be Superman and he can maybe get the job done one of these times.
Gosh, he's gotten so close twice.
I know. I think the Bills are definitely in that conversation. To me, more than the Ravens, just based on what we saw last year, Andy Reid can outcoach a lot of coaches. And the way the Ravens offense looked last year against them was a problem. And defensively, the Ravens are not as good this year as they were last year. So
big step
that
down.
Also hurts their threat, I guess, level, if you will, to me.
Okay. I mean, color me shocked. He mentioned the Cincinnati Bengals there, JT.
Yeah, it's there's not a one shock. Team. It's not a shock, but I'm gonna shock you too. I honestly, maybe it's because I have PTSD of Joe Burrow and Amarumo going nuts on me, but they give me PTSD if I see them in the playoffs just because
not
they know.
Fair.
They know how it works. I would say this, though. I think the Bills this year are more scarier than the Ravens just because
this was
the year where we were like a couple years ago when we traded Tyreek Hill away. All right, well, let's see what Patrick can do without any weapons. And then he showed up and did what he did. Well, Josh Allen's doing the same thing. He's got a little chip on his shoulder, and they went out and got Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper is no slouch. Let's get that straight. And I think that The offense is getting going, and I think it's where it's going to be deciding where I think Brady works better as the OC than what they had last year.
I agree.
I think this team's more balanced on offense, and I haven't seen Josh Allen take that many hits that we're accustomed to seeing early on in the season. So I think the Bills are the biggest threat right now because I think they get into the playoffs over the
Bills. Can't even throw a pick yet either. Josh Allen, the gunslinger, hasn't thrown a pick yet. I mean, very impressive.
No, the whole turnover prone, everyone was dogging him last season with the turnover. Haven't thrown a pick. He heard the criticisms.
Keelan Coleman finally had a great game too. It took a little bit, but Amari Cooper alongside of him, he had that game.
Fantasy Football Sundays, 9 to 10. I'm telling you guys, I told you to start Keon Coleman.
You called it.
I said Keon Coleman scoring a touchdown today. He's going to open up everything. Amari Cooper's going
to
open up
listen
everything.
To Mac. Listen to Mac, all right?
Now, I will say this about the Bills. I still am very concerned about their defense without the middle linebacker.
Matt Milano.
So I like Milano a lot, but he just can't stay healthy.
Constantly hurt, which has been so sad to see. A great player, and they've struggled with injuries on the defense for a long time. Now, if we're talking about what player scares me the most, I'm going to still say Josh Allen, even though Joe Burrow exists. Joe Burrow does scare me.
I think Josh Allen has played the best
against Mahomes to me. Like Josh Allen statistically has
100%. I agree.
He has like made the most jaw dropping plays. When I think about when you think about Mahomes and you think about being the opposition, watching Patrick Mahomes play, which is a fun thing to think about as a Chiefs fan, to think about the misery that ensues in a fan's head while watching those 3 hours of football every day, which is glorious on our side, but maybe not as good for them. I feel sometimes that watching Josh Allen, like, how did he do that? We had him. We did everything for the defense, did everything perfectly, and Josh Allen still made the play. So if you're asking who scares me, who's the biggest threat? Josh Allen. But what team, which unit, head coach, franchise is the biggest threat to Kansas City come January? It's the Baltimore Ravens. It's the Baltimore Ravens.
Even with the bad defense. Because to me, I think that's what makes them the biggest threat. Because we've seen Lamar Jackson with the defense has always been kind of good in Baltimore. But Lamar's been fine, and he hasn't been able to get over that hump. And to me, I know that Ja'Marr Chase, obviously, elite trash talker, Lamar Jackson has said that Patrick Mahomes is his kryptonite. To me, if you're saying on record that somebody's your kryptonite, you've already lost, my guy. You've already lost. I'm sorry. You already know going in that you are at a disadvantage. That's not good. I don't know what Josh Allen's thinking. He's probably thinking, my God, can I please just beat this man one time?
Once.
One time.
I've done everything.
I do think the thing, too, and it's easy to just, again, I like the Bengals, whatever. They've beaten the Ravens every single time they played in the playoffs in Joe Burrow's career. They beat the Bills every single time, and Josh Allen has not been very good against the Bengals in the playoffs when they've played, which I think has been a couple times. Somebody mentions the Texans as well, which is another
I like that.
It's another outlier team where we don't know. We know that they're a threat, I think, but we don't know. I think the big one is going to be when they play later on this regular season. We're going to know how they match up, because Houston hasn't played Kansas City either at all with CJ Stroud, or just enough for you to say, okay, yes, they are maybe the biggest threat. Because I think, say Houston beats the Chiefs and they win by like a touchdown, all of a sudden I think they might catapult all the way up to number one, where, okay, they just beat us. We know how good they are. Yeah. They took down our defense. I think there's a lot of storylines still to be determined about how big of a threat I think Houston is.
I completely agree. And there's obviously unknown there, right? This is the second year of kind of this tenure for them with the CJ Stroud thing. And Stroud has yet to really play Mahomes. We've got the history with Lamar and the kryptonite. Josh Allen's been beaten three times. Joe Burrow's only got it done once.
CJ's new to the party. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But CJ's new to this elite tier, this echelon, and he's really entered it. And now he's in there. He's in the door. He's in the room. He's like, what's up, guys? And it's like, okay, are you going to be in the corner crying with Allen and Burrow and Lamar? Are you going to be standing up to Mahomes?
It is interesting that he hasn't played particularly great over the last couple of weeks.
He has not. 86 passing yards last week.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't been great.
He's missing Nico Collins.
He is missing his guy, who should be back against Kansas City if that timeline that they're given right now is accurate.
I didn't think that they went all in necessarily, but the addition of Stephon Diggs hasn't done as much as I thought it might do for the offense, because they bring in Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is the reason why they were in that game last week. To be honest with you, he was great last week. I think that's the him being the addition that they have along with Stephon Diggs. I thought the offense would be maybe a little bit better than what they were, but yeah, we'll see how the season continues to go for Houston, because they're the, I guess, the only other question mark, because there's nobody else. Because Pitt, look, Pittsburgh?
No.
Nobody in the AFC
Jets.
West.
The Jets. Come on. No. 2-5. No. Yeah, that's it. I think on paper the Texans. I mean, they have a running game. They have a really good defense. That's something that I am thinking about when I watch Houston right now.
A problem.
Will Anderson's coming for you. They've got a good secondary with Derek Stingley and some boys out there that can cover you. They can rush the passer, like you just said. Like, they have the prototypical like rubric of the team you'd want to go far in the playoffs. They can run the ball. They have a good quarterback, a young, innovative, defensive, maybe minded head coach with a defense that can get after you, and it's got some serious tenacity. I see it. But again, when you're talking about Josh Allen, two-time MVP, Lamar maybe looking for his third in a back-to-back type situation, and even Joe Burrow and the Bengals, who maybe are in a must-win scenario pretty much every week for the rest of the season in some capacity, still, you probably start to mention them even before the Texans, which may be disrespectful. And honestly, it probably is, because the Texans do have a better team. I think you'd agree with that.
Well, if we're talking about defenses, certainly. If we're talking about coaching, it's still up for debate. But
for debate.
Because, I mean, Joe Burrow is on record of saying, I got to be damn near perfect with this defense. And damn near perfect was them losing to the Baltimore Ravens and them losing to the Washington Commanders. So as good as Joe Burrow's played as a team, they've had their bumps and bruises. We'll see how they continue to go, because they're in that stretch where they're getting the wins that they should be getting, and we'll see how the next couple of weeks goes.
Where would you maybe put the Broncos? I know the Broncos got a rookie quarterback, Sean Payne, but listen.
Come on.
It's a theoretical question here. Would you say they could be a potential like sneaky wild, hey, the division rival that, hey, we've always said the Chargers, maybe the Broncos are the new Chargers where we think they could beat the Chiefs.
Theoretically, I think the Chiefs would kick their ass.
I love me some Bo Nix, and I'm on record saying
he has the potential
to me to be a top 20, top 15, solid starter in this league.
Top 10 pick. He's got the potential to be a top 20 QB.
But honestly, though, he'd be the
nice
third.
Broncos.
He might, out of all the quarterbacks in the Mahomes era, where would Bo Nix rank if he was a top 20 quarterback? I mean, he might be one of the top five opposing quarterbacks in the division in Mahomes' career to this point. So I think top 20 actually is, I think that's the ballpark. I think it's the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh, I think, makes the ultimate difference, where given another year or two, maybe the Chargers are ready to compete, but it's still the Chiefs division and nobody else is close right now.
Well, there's top 20 and then there's top 10, and there's been a lot of chatter about Patrick Mahomes maybe not being in that list anymore this season. And we'll get to that, plus maybe some MVP odds that are ruffling some feathers. Stay locked in right here, 96.5 The Fan, JT Noah, Drew Nixon, Mac Morey right here. After Hours, got you until 9 o'clock. Stay locked in right here, 96.5.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% US-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Five. Brett Veach has been in his bag. I know that. Getting Hopkins.
You think he was listening to this at 10 p.m. last night when he was talking to the Titans?
Absolutely was banging this, as he should be, because he is constantly in his bag. DeAndre Hopkins, now a Kansas City Chief, baby.
If he's listening to this, he's listening to our lifestyle. I was like, I've got you two here. I can play my music. Yeah, we're right around the same age. I'm like, let's do this.
Same age group here. We got JT Noah, Drew Dixon, and Mac Warry listening to After Hours right here on 96.5 The Fan, live until 9 o'clock with you. Obviously, have been covering D-Hop all day right here with, of course, Fesco and Dusty, myself, Cody and Gold and Drew. And then, of course, you got C-Dot and Rob in the drive. And then right here, and now we're talking, we got some college football. We got NBA on the way. We're going to have Drew Nixon coming up next. Give us his 12 playoff teams for the college football playoff bracket. I'm pumped. The
pressure's on.
You should have seen him at the desk going at it.
When I was like, should we do this, man? And you could just see like the eyes raise, like shoulders get up. He leans forward. He's like, yeah, we could do that. And then like the next 10 minutes, silence from Drew. It's great.
I get that. I turn into the same person when it comes to March Madness. I take way too much time to make my bracket. I take it way too seriously just for one region to get burned. Yeah, it's what happens. But yeah, we're going to make some picks. It'll be fun.
You do so much on the March Madness bracket just to see your wife get farther than you on her predictions.
No, yeah, to be honest, yes.
I mean, yeah, that's literally
how it was
it.
For
that's
me. My girlfriend. My girlfriend's like,
oh, yeah.
How did it was the one where Purdue lost the one seed. And she's like, I've got all of them right. And then I was like, well, you didn't have Purdue. She goes, shut up.
Stop. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Oh, no, my fiance's beat me in before. It's just like, okay, I don't care. Whatever. You can tell I don't care at all, right? Okay, so we're going to make this a little shorter just because we want to make sure we get to the college football slate and give Drew some time to go through all those 12 teams and obviously talk about the Sunflower Showdown, must-win game for Mizzou this week, and a lot going on in the college football world. But Patrick Mahomes, not the best statistical season for him, the worst statistical season for him in his career, and just straight up bad statistical season for him right now. Just if you compare it across the QB, eight interceptions, six touchdowns, not a great QBR, not a whole lot of yards, hasn't been awesome. And kind of the talk across the Twitter sphere, formerly known as X, is that he's not a top 10 quarterback anymore.
Okay. You need to stop the cap a little bit.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. I think this is the thing that's interesting is when we look at like MVP conversation, because that ultimately I think is what some of it, because people that a lot of it kind of factors into it, is how is he the MVP favorite or top three favored when he's got a stat line of six touchdowns and eight picks? It has nothing to do with him being the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks, whatever you think he is. He is a top two quarterback if you really want to make it two, but he's one.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine. He's one. Okay.
If you gave the MVP to the best player every single year, then Patrick Mahomes would have MVP. Like he would be winning it over Lamar Jackson, even though Lamar Jackson has better statistical season. LeBron James would have had a stretch where he was
great
winning
example.
10 of them in a row, but he wasn't. I think for the MVP, I don't think he's an MVP candidate because the MVP is a statistical award. That's what it is. That's what we've made it into be. It's never really the most valuable player. That being said, I don't think he should be in the conversation right now for MVP because, yes, the team is 6-0, and Patrick Mahomes is a part of it, but you combine their record with the stats, I think you can say Jared Goff deserves to be higher up in the conversation. Lamar Jackson deserves to be higher up in the conversation. Josh Allen deserves to be up in the conversation. Heaven forbid, Sam Darnold right now belongs in the conversation, I think, more than Patrick Mahomes because of the team record and what he's doing statistically. That is what I think the MVP conversation is more towards, is that. Like, Patrick Mahomes is not an MVP candidate because it's a statistical award. He's a top 10 quarterback. He's a top 5 quarterback. He's a top 3 quarterback. He's a top 1 quarterback. Like, the idea that he's not a top 10 quarterback right now is crazy because...
Insane.
To me,
this is what we do in sports, though, right? This is what we do. So it's recency bias.
The only way that you can actually make that argument is if the Chiefs were 1-5 or they were 2-4, and he was the reason they were losing.
I'd still say you're an idiot. Four Super Bowls, 3 rings. Get out of here.
That's the only way that I could say right now your argument actually has a little bit of merit. But they're 6-0. He's won games for them. He's found ways to win, and that's what the best players do. He is absolutely inside the top 10.
Fantasy from the 913 and be part of the conversation. 913-586-7965. Fantasyland doesn't like it when the most important stat is winning. Fantasyland, not real football. Absolutely. I agree. Most important stat is winning, and Mahomes has done that. I would say he's...
That doesn't make him the MVP, though. In my opinion,
it's a stat award. The MVP is such a the MVP is dumb. I'm so over it. I'm just done with it. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's an they need to change the name of the award. Is what best season is what they need to change it to.
Best season, best quarterback season, really is what it is.
Something that's what they need to change it into. Because I'll be honest. I want right now. You could say, okay, who's the most valuable player on the Chiefs? If they didn't have Patrick Mahomes, are they 6-0? I don't think
so.
No.
No.
You could say
maybe with Josh Allen.
Maybe in the same breath, potentially, is how valuable is Chris Jones or Trent McDuffie compared to Patrick Mahomes? I think they're right there in the conversation, because if you don't have Trent McDuffie, who's that lockdown guy? How big of a day does Jamar Chase have? How big of a day does Drake London have? How big of a day does, you just name the wide receiver who they played have? So I think Trent McDuffie, if there's any player that you say is more deserving of an MVP on this Chiefs team, maybe it's Trent McDuffie. But still, any other quarterback in this league with this offense probably is not undefeated other than Patrick Mahomes. So I think that that's the way that you have to look at it. They are two different things, though. But I mean, I would... Who was the analyst? Because I feel like you just have to name drop him.
Well, that's what's annoying. I couldn't find it today. I was trying to find it before the show. I tried to get the audio. I just
say their name.
I say it. Drop that name. No, it was a terrible take, and I do want to find it for you guys. But I don't know if
call
I can.
The name of that.
Yeah, I wish I would.
It was not me. Believe it or not, it's not me saying that. I promise.
I assume 913 is trolling us with Mahomes playing as bad as he has. When did we start asking for Carson Wentz? Any other team would ask for their backup quarterback with statistics like Patrick has. LOL. I assume you're trolling. I know you are.
Hey, is because Carson Wentz better than Bo Nix? We were talking about that over the break.
I think Carson Wentz is the third best quarterback in the division. What? JT? Yes.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, know. Isn't that crazy?
I would say obviously he could play for the Raiders.
Oh yeah.
Easily.
Easy.
Obviously.
Easy.
Okay. You take Mahomes and Herbert out because those two.
So boom.
Yeah. So now you're with Bo Nix. I mean, it would be a fighter's chance with Wentz with Bo.
I think it's a really good chance.
I like Bo Nix, but Carson Wentz would start over Bo Nix right now.
And I think it would be okay to say that because, honestly, you have someone that's a veteran showing Bo what to do, because Bo out there sometimes still looks like he's rattled and scared. And so I think it would be good to have a veteran out there teaching him the ropes.
Right. If there's anything Carson Wentz is not, it's rattled and scared. That is for sure. Mm. 14-1 right now is your guy, Joe Burrow. Honestly, if I was going to make a value bet, it would be that, because they could make it into the playoffs and have a chance at second in that division. That would be the value bet.
The way that he's playing, and I know that it's rare for a player to win MVP when they don't win the division, but there is one guy that's playing insanely good football where if they go 9-8 and they win the division, or if they go 9-8 and make the playoffs, there's only one player that the way Joe Burrow's playing,
exactly.
He'd be the reason, because the defense has been
so bad. The defense is so bad. Exactly. We'll go over to college football. A lot to talk about. Plus, Drew's going to give us his 12 college football teams. Make sure you stay locked in after hours. JT Noah, Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Welcome back to your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. JT Noah on the keys back there. We got Drew Nixon and myself, Mac Morey, with you for a little over 2 hours. Been talking DeAndre Hopkins, NFL, landscape of the AFC, where the Chiefs sit, in a little MVP talk, and now we're getting to some college football. On the docket, though, we've got quarterbacks. Still time. You're throwing them out. We got some NBA talk. We'll get to some more DeAndre Hopkins angles, and, of course, that out-of-field left question that we want you to be a part of at 8 o'clock, which... won't tell you what that is yet. You'll have to wait for that. But 913-586-7965 is the number. Now, five total ranked versus ranked matchups in this college football weekend. It's going to be a fun one. One of those is the Missouri Tigers taking on the Crimson Tide. A must win for Missouri. Drew.
And there's also some news, by the way, regarding the Missouri Tigers.
Hit us. Let's go.
According to Pete Thamel, 7 minutes ago, Brady Cook is considered doubtful against Alabama.
I will tell you this.
If Brady Cook is not playing, Missouri has a 0% chance.
Okay.
Zero of winning that game, because we saw what happened with Drew Pine last week.
Like straight up zero. Now what? Like it's bad?
I do not think they will win. I don't think they will win the game. I don't believe it.
Okay.
I agree. That'd be a bigger upset than any of these other ranked teams over. Like if Navy beats Notre Dame, which I think is going to happen actually, by the way.
Love it.
That's more of an upset if Drew Pine and the Missouri Tigers beat Alabama with Drew Pine playing. But
okay.
You're right though. It's a must win because it feels like college football playoff game right here, written all over it. It's in Tuscaloosa.
Yes.
This is the signature win for Missouri if they can get it done. Like, if they find a way to win this, the schedule lightens up to end the regular season. If they go 11-1, for all we know, they might make it into the SEC title game, even though you might not say they're the best team or the second best team in the SEC. The way the schedule pans out for them, it's a potential chance for them to do that. But they got to get through this one. This is the most important game of the season for them. And then the same for Alabama, because if Alabama loses,
it's over.
It is over for them.
Season's done, which I would love nothing more.
Being the Vol,
Yeah, baby.
Woo!
I already got that dub against them. No big deal. But Missouri looking to do the same. Obviously got the Sunflower Showdown this weekend as well.
Yeah, of course. It's always a
maybe not going to be a showdown, though.
Kansas State has won the last 15 times. That being said, for Kansas fans, the message you need to be telling yourself that Lance Leipold should be telling that team is you need to be the bad guy. You won last week, Houston stink. But you got a chance to spoil Kansas State's season on Saturday. The Jayhawks have been leading in basically every single game that they've lost in the fourth quarter. Like, they've blown the games, essentially, is what they've kind of done. So I think this game is going to be tight. It's going to be close. It's a rivalry game. They always tend to be a little bit closer anyways. I think K-State wins, but I think it's one that's not an easy victory by any means. The game's in Manhattan. It makes it even tougher for Kansas to go into that environment and win, but I think K-State find a way to survive. It's those rivalry games, man. But
you think it's a little bit of a nail biter? You think this one's actually worth watching? Well, this is watchable.
Right now, I think the spread for that Alabama-Missouri game, I don't know how it changes if Brady Cook doesn't play, but...
Oh, I'd imagine
Alabama's favored by 17.5 right now.
What?
Take the money on Missouri to cover the points.
What?
17.5 points. Missouri, that is a closer game.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe because of the Brady Cook thing.
They just moved that too, because before the show.
It was at 14, wasn't it?
It was at 13.
Okay.
But that's still high.
At 13, I was saying to take the points as well. I think the game is going to be, if Drew Pine plays, don't take the points from Missouri, please.
Yeah, stay away.
But if Brady Cook plays, take 13? The points from Missouri. It's 17.5
Bama
now.
Bama is just not the same this year.
Defensively, especially.
They're not. More lopsided rivalry, K-State, KU football, or Chiefs, Raiders?
Oh, man. That's
a fun one.
I'm going to say K-State, KU, because the Raiders at least have beaten the Chiefs here recently. I know that it's...
No, I'll give you
I know that.
They
stink.
Twice in the last few years, yeah.
The Raiders have won the game.
Yeah, it feels like way more of a rivalry. I'd agree with that. Okay, so a lot to watch this college football weekend. We'll keep you up to date, but less than 2 weeks away from the college football playoff rankings coming
out.
Thank
goodness. They need to be out.
It's happening, baby. We're headed into week 9. So I thought, you know, you and I are going to be doing this whole thing for a while. Once a week, at least, you and I will be hosting the show. So I thought, you know what? Let's get a little bit of some receipts going. So we'll cut this. JT will cut this for us, and you will give us your 12 playoff teams right now as it stands. No order. Just give us the 12 that are in, because then in a few months we can look at how right or how wrong you were.
All right, so the 12 teams that I have in no particular order, by the way, because I want to make this, I want to be sure that this is this is right now. Things can change. Right now, I would say, and in no particular order, the Oregon Ducks, I think, are going to make it. I did right now say if the playoffs started right now, I would say they'd be the one seed. I think they're going to win the Big Ten. Number two seed, I think Georgia is going to find a way to win the SEC. It's a bloodbath. I could be dead wrong on this because the SEC is so competitive.
Go Vols.
It's so good. Miami, it's a toss-up between them and Clemson. I think Clemson's offense has been on fire.
It has.
The last few weeks. Cam Ward might be the Heisman Trophy winner when it's all said and done. He's in the top three right now. I think Jenty, Travis Hunter, Cam Ward are in the discussion.
Best QB in the class.
Yes. Him and Shador. I think Shador is better than what people think, but I would say Cam Ward and him are right there for best QB. I think Kansas State's going to win.
Okay.
The Big 12 because...
Here we go, Cats.
Because I think they beat Iowa State to end the season. They beat BYU in the Big 12 title game to get revenge, and I don't know if BYU makes it. I think only one Big 12 team makes it right now. That's just how I think it would go right now. I think Penn State is going to make it as well. I think I picked them to go undefeated and lose in the Big 12 title or the Big 10 title game to Oregon. They still make it. I think that's what happens. I think Texas makes it. I know that they look shaky against Georgia. Schedule's a little bit favorable.
Shaky's generous.
It's a little bit favorable the rest of the way. They play Vandy this week, and if they lose to Vandy, who the heck knows what's going to happen
there. Wow, that could happen.
But I think that Texas is going to make it. I would say Tennessee, your Vols make it. Too good of a defense to not make it. I think they're going to find a way to get in. I think Ohio State makes it as well. Clemson, give me the Tigers, and LSU. is going to make the college football playoff. They're going to beat A&M this weekend. I think it's a huge win for them. Schedule lightens up to end the season. A team that nobody expected to be in this position is going to make the playoff. IU. Indiana is going to make the college football playoff. The rest of their schedule, they should be favored in every single game the rest of the way except for when they play Ohio State. If they lose to Ohio State and that's the one loss that they have, I think they make it. Gives the resume, I don't know, like their schedule is comparable in a way to what Missouri have done. They didn't really play anybody like that. I think that IU, though, with only one loss, and if it's to Ohio State, especially if Ohio State end up winning the Big Ten, by the way, I think Indiana's in. Group of five team, totally up in the air. We have got Boise State playing UNLV this weekend. Navy playing Notre Dame. I said that Navy win the game. Navy's schedule is favorable because they're in the American Conference. If they beat Notre Dame, I think Navy are going to go to the college football playoff. Get the triple option in there. The Service Academy is going to be in it, and they play Penn State, by the way. If they did happen to play Penn State, I just think that I'm not saying they're going to beat Penn State, but a triple option team, hard to prepare for those teams. You can only practice it so much. It's not like facing the real thing. Could be a really fun and interesting game. Give me the Navy Midshipmen, a Service Academy, in the college football playoff. That would be really fun.
Let's go. Okay, so Oregon, Georgia,
yep,
Miami,
yep,
K-State, Penn State, no order, Penn State, mm-hmm, Texas, Tennessee, go Vols, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, IU, and Navy.
Yep.
All right. That's it.
That's it. I feel like we're going to look back. And I feel very confident outside of maybe two or three of these choices. I feel very confident that I'm going to get a majority of these right, but we'll see. The Troll Drew meter could be high come the end of the college football playoffs, or when the playoffs end up coming out. Somebody from the 660 real quick before we go to break, yeah, said a healthy Sam Horn might have given Missouri a better chance to beat Bama than either Brady Cook or Drew Pine. Had Drink ever given him a fair chance? Listen, there has been a lot of hate on Brady Cook this year for whatever reason.
It really has.
That man was injured, went to the damn hospital, came back. Won you the football game. He is a legend as far as I'm concerned. And he said he was emotional after the game. He loves Missouri. Drew Pine stinks. Brady Cook is good enough to get the job done. Sam Horn, we'll see. They also have, I forget the guy's name who's coming in as a four-star next year. Sam Horn might not even be able to get that chance.
Yeah, that one you're talking about, he actually broke his leg during high school, so he was out for the season this year on a play.
Oh, well.
But my thing with Brady Cook is, okay, if he's doubtful, I want to know what they gave him at the hospital. Like, I need to know what they gave him to get him back into the game if he's already doubtful to play.
I think it was amazing that he was out for 2 hours of real time, came back, and basically acted like nothing had changed, and he went down the field and won that game. That was very impressive.
Give him that Aaron Rodgers treatment. Should have interviewed him after the game.
He had some ayahuasca potentially. Take this, you'll feel fine.
249 miles of college football. Just released a new episode today, Drew, right?
Yeah, new episode is out today. We talk a little bit about the Sunflower Showdown, big game for Missouri as well. Yeah. Break it down a little bit further.
Absolutely. That is all your college football content that you can get from the wonderful Drew Nixon. That's JT Noah producing the show. I'm Mac Morey. We'll be back and we will talk about quarterbacks, whether there's still time or, you know, you open up that leftover, you go, ooh, I didn't know how long that was. It's time to throw that out. We'll talk about it coming up after this. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.